You're listening to The Drive Home with Casey and Blair. Welcome to The Drive Home with Casey and Blair, where we give our unfiltered first impressions of the films we just watched at the movies and record our discussion on The Drive Home. Opinions change over time, and working in the film industry, none of these critiques are meant to be personal, but rather a reaction. Thank you for listening.
This is something that Blair and I have discussed many times before and agree. Let's see here. Now I gotta do the math.
He's recording this so he has content to where his sister says he doesn't need someone to control him.
No, I was saying that all Wayland men need a strong woman to keep them in line.
You are strategically doing this for content. You don't need someone to control you. You were born with everything you need to control yourself. You are shooting yourself in the foot by saying you need someone else. You are not dependent. You are a Wayland.
Everybody needs somebody sometime.
This isn't a Gene Kelly movie.
Yeah, well, it still applies. So anyway, this was the very long intro for The Drive Home, for the Homecoming Spider-Man.
Content. You did it for content.
No, actually, I didn't. I just started recording because I waited till we got past everybody because I don't like spoiling the movie. And we were just in the middle of the conversation. I'm adhering to the rules of The Drive Home.
Everyone dies.
Everyone dies? Well, everyone dies eventually.
That was meta.
Especially with the Republican death panels. No, I'm just teasing.
Right, gather proof.
So, we saw Homecoming.
What? And
Spider-Man Homecoming. You know it was named after the dance, right? Sort of. Oh, Dad almost had a spill. I saw it. That twig really, really had arms. Overall, I think generally we really liked it. I know I did. I was kind of... I didn't go in knowing much about it. I hadn't watched many previews. It was pretty... You know, I was obscure with it enough to where... I was surprised with everything that pretty much happened. But there was some elements that was very predictable. Like their third act, like, oh, moment. And I was like, oh, I saw that coming a mile away. But yeah. That's just because I kind of saw their setup for what they were doing with Peter Parker. But that was really fun, though.
It was comical.
That whole scene in the car was something that they have not done before that I thought was really well done. Well, so one of the most dramatic moments, and I think one of the best moments of the movie, had no special effects. It's the moment when the Vulture realizes that Peter Parker is in the backseat of his car. That's Spider-Man. And going up to the light and the setup with the red light coming onto his face as he sort of discovers it, was a really beautiful moment. And I think one of the first times that a villain meets the hero face to face and has a conflict without even swinging a blow. And I thought that was really well done and a very strong choice for a comic book movie that is not made often.
This is a horrible...
I liked when he came into the... Peter Parker came into the house and realized it was...
The dad.
Oh, yeah. That was something that I saw coming... only because they really set it up a couple times.
Oh, I didn't.
I didn't see it coming.
They set it up by saying that, you know, I have to do it for my family.
Yeah, the minute they mentioned family, I was like, okay. And then also they mentioned the taillight out. And so the minute that they brought the family up twice, then it becomes the Chekhov's gun. It's waiting for the payoff.
What do you mean taillight?
So when he mentioned his family twice, just talking about the format of just how it was written, because he mentioned it twice, it becomes sort of like Chekhov's gun, meaning that at some time that's a plant. We need to see the payoff. So
I didn't think that. I just thought they were building him up to be a common man. That was his motivation to go bad was to provide for his family.
Yeah, well, no, that's exactly what they did. But they hoodwinked you because Peter is the superhero of the common man as well. So this was like the hero and villain of the Common Men, which was kind of an easy and good theme to go with. But I'm saying that, like, when they set it up to be him at that moment, like, the payoff was kind of, well, for me, a little obvious. But a lot of people in the theater, I heard the little ohs, and I'm like, well, okay, so it did work still.
It worked?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah, you guys did. It was done clever enough to where it, I think it really was kind of hidden in some way.
I didn't get it.
Yeah. You didn't, Katie. You saw, you went when he was at the door, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, that was. I thought it was a really good reveal. I think the movie really came to life at that moment for me, because then it just became, the battle was not of physical strength, it was mental. And you really got to see Peter as a kid at that moment, like, dealing with an adult. Like, he's incredibly intimidated by this guy.
Righteously so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's torn because it's his girl, his, you know, the girl he has a crush on, her father. I mean, he couldn't let him die.
Yeah, no, he didn't. And I think there's a respect between him and the Vulture character, because you even see it at the end with the reprise of, like, he's not giving up his name, because he did, like, twice Vulture basically said, okay, I'll let you go, and that was the second time at the end. The Vulture let him go twice. Because he saved his daughter the first time, so he's like, I'll let you go. You go in there, have a good time.
Spider-Man saved his life.
Yeah, and so that's, I think, why he kept his identity at the end as well, is there's a mutual respect between them.
Yeah.
I think in many ways, he respects Spider-Man for what he does, and it's just, you know, he does what he has to do. He is the guy who is doing what he has to do to survive. And I thought that was a really good motivation for his character.
A lot of humor in the movie.
Yeah,
more so than... It was like the Marvel equation is every 2.5 minutes, it seems like there's a joke.
Well, this guy that played Spider-Man was probably the best.
Yeah, I agree. They didn't... If you notice, they didn't spend much time on backstory at all, which is, I think, a really smart move, because we already know it so many times that we really just needed to... Yeah, exactly.
Well, but I don't think everybody knows the story. The guy next to me didn't.
Really?
Because his wife was, yeah, I'm going to send my comic books with you to work so you can read them before this next movie.
Well, I think maybe because there's so many other references to other things inside there. Like, it really is thick. Like that guy who, the MJ, Mary Jane, is Zendaya. They're... Mary Jane, MJ.
Right, but who is she?
She's the redhead in the other version, who was played by Kirsten Dunst, yeah. So now...
Oh.
Yeah, now it's played by Zendaya, who is the quirky, spunky girl with the weird sense of humor.
Well, you gotta love
her. I like her.
Yeah, she did a...
Love her.
She did a good job. I think she kind of... She has... she did Casey Undercover with Disney. She's been a Disney actor for a long time. And I only really paid attention to her because the show was called Casey, and I was like, oh, there's a show with this name, let me see. Because the weird thing is, it's one of the few shows or few times that Casey is ever, like, used, and it's spelled K and a C, and it's pronounced Casey. They don't go KC. There's that pause in between KC. There's some people who call me KC or KC, like, separate.
He calls Cartier a lot.
Cartier?
Yeah.
Or I just spell you with two letters, KT.
Tell us
all. Yep.
What
you want ice cream, Mom?
No, thanks.
Is that the mood you're in?
No.
You said guess what mood I'm in.
No, it depends how I say your name is the mood I'm in.
Oh, okay.
There's an expletive before or after.
Oh, gotcha. The one thing I really didn't like about the movie, getting into the stuff that I thought that didn't work, was the super high-tech suit felt like they were borrowing a lot from Iron Man. And it felt like...
Almost too much,
yeah. Like, the point where, like, I was... So Spider-Man now has his own Jarvis, I was like, come on, we need to find some better ways to get around this. But they basically gave Spider-Man Iron Man's plot devices, like the literal components of plot devices. Oh, track this guy. I find him here.
But it added a lot of comic value.
It did. And I think the reason they did it was they just wanted to be as efficient with the storytelling as possible. Hang it right then, right? Are you going to go left? Okay. I think they did it just to kind of move things along, but it really felt like not like a Spider-Man thing. It just felt very...
Spider-Man's pretty simple.
Yeah, it felt very high-tech when I don't think it necessarily needed to be, you know? I get that Spider-Man had, like, gadgets and stuff, and it makes sense that this kid could not make them on his own, so I kind of get what they did with that. That's always been something that they've had a problem with Spider-Man, is the feasibility of a kid having access to all this stuff to make all these devices. And even they had the web fluid, you know, being made in chemistry class, which made sense, but it still was, I still think it's a problem that they're always trying to figure a way around, and having Iron Man there worked. I just think they did too much with it. Huh. Like, you know, the...
Did you like the ending?
Yeah, I thought the ending kind of worked.
Kinda?
With the plane climax, I thought was pretty interesting. I have a real problem with Spider-Man not bleeding, ever. Like, it felt like he was just invulnerable, getting hit all these times and just getting right back up.
But if in the real story, he has the spider sense thing, where he doesn't he rejuvenate or something?
Yeah, he has spider strength, and he can rejuvenate. But the thing about any of these movies is the way you make your hero more human is you make them more vulnerable. And I didn't feel like he was very vulnerable at any time. The only time I felt he was vulnerable was when he was under the rocks, and you actually felt... I think that was one of the better moments of him. You really got to feel his, like... You know, he's a kid.
Yeah.
And he doesn't... He's put in this weird spot. And he is like, feeling trapped, and you felt that with him at that moment.
I loved his sidekick.
Oh, the sidekick was fun. It wasn't a typical thing. Although, I will say... It was kind of weird that they brought the Death Star to build at the school for one of those shots. I was like, okay, that just lost me.
No,
why would you take this 3,328 piece, which, by the way, they pointed out very definitely, to school?
Yeah, but he was a band geek, so you never know.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, we got a band geek back here.
Chill out.
But you weren't the typical.
No, the Andy and I was talking about when he sent her... Looking in the mirror, and his aunt standing behind me. And she goes, "What the?"
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
Freaking hilarious to me.
Well, I like how they're just rolling right over some of these things. Like letting his best friend know he was Spider-Man right away was a great plot device, because that was a way to, because Spider-Man can't communicate with anybody, and when Spider-Man's talking to himself, like he did in all the other Spider-Man movies, it gets dull, and that's why they always gave him someone to talk to.
That's why he had Jarvis or Karen.
Yeah, Karen was a way of like, Karen was a device of making him so he didn't have to talk to himself.
Right.
Which, yeah, okay. It just, yeah, I thought.
But didn't the aunt in one of the movies sew the costumes? I thought in the very beginning the aunt was the one who gave him the costumes.
No, who did sew the costume? I don't know what Superman. Oh, you know what? I think it was Superman.
Superman.
It was Superman. The mom made the costume, I think. Yeah, aunt.
The mother.
There's a lot of that figure in these movies,
yeah.
But overall, it was really good. I thought it was really fun. I thought that Marvel took a lot of risks with the style, lots of close-ups, which I thought were great. It felt really dramatic, which is a change from a lot of the pace of comic book movies.
You got to know your characters,
Captain America.
Yeah.
Cameo.
The Captain America cameos were great. The Iron Man ones, I just felt like Iron Man was just a weird way of adding Robert Downey Jr.'s humor into the story.
But I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun, but...
I think it worked because Robert Downey Jr. was the one closest to him.
Yeah, it was his father figure, and because they did get rid of Uncle Ben and kind of swapped him out with Uncle Iron Man.
Well, Uncle Ben was gone really early.
Yeah, well, they didn't even cover Uncle Ben in this at all. They just said what Aunt May's been through. So they're just like glazed over it. So who knows? Maybe we'll get some backstory with that. Or just not. Then we'll just move on. But anyway, this has been The Drive Home with Casey, Mark, Kathy, and Katie. Or Mom, Dad, and Sister Katie. But anyway.
Are there parental units in the sister unit?
Or either one of those. Anyway, this has been Drive Home. Thanks all for listening.